Well, good morning. Good to see each one of you here. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. It's good to be here in God's house. And I too would welcome visitors, Philip and Jillian. Good to see you back here with us. Thanks for being here, not being afraid to come back and worship here with us here at Cornerstone. And you other visitors, welcome. Was blessed by the service, very blessed, many inspirations. I appreciated that Sunday school lesson in those closing challenges. We could have kept on for a while, couldn't have we? Challenges for us to love the brotherhood, love one another as Christ showed us how, and the love he showed, Jesus showed in that prayer to his Father. Let's be faithful in loving one another. Appreciated some of those children's verses, the verses you shared. I will trust and not be afraid, I think was one. And I appreciated the zeal and energy that you brought that verse out with. That is good. It is a very... It's a very encouraging promise that we have. We can trust. We do not need to fear when we have our trust in God. There's also, I took note of the verse on the bulletin here this morning. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. As I had to think, I was one that got to observe some of the mighty things that water can do. As I went for a little time there on Tuesday, I believe it was, to down northern Pennsylvania, and it is impressive what water can do. But our God, it says the Lord on high, I believe maybe the writer had of that psalm had in mind that the power of an ocean and waves coming in, maybe the mighty waves of the sea. But our God is mightier than the mightiest thing, like many waters. That's the God we're here worshiping this morning, and that should draw us to humility and reverence as we enter into worship. I would like to continue our study on with the Beatitudes this morning. Those of you from here know if we've been working on a few of them. The one I would like to consider today is verse 7 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Probably won't spend much time in Matthew 5. Simply take that beatitude and try to pull some thoughts on mercy this morning and try to unpack that verse a little bit, and we certainly aren't going to totally cover everything that we can find here about mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Are you a merciful person? Are you that kind of person this morning and today? Does your life portray mercy? What does being merciful mean? So, dictionary definition or two of mercy: kind and gentle treatment of a wrongdoer, an opponent, or some unfortunate person. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Maybe just a practical illustration. I got to pick on one of you young fellas. Who should I pick on? Tyler, maybe I'll pick on you. I think I can do that. But let's say Tyler, he was speeding. He got stopped by the state trooper for speeding, and the trooper After, you know, he looks at the Tyler's license and registration, he said, "Well, Tyler, you know, I clocked you going 75 in the 55 speed zone. And, you know, I don't know what the law actually is or what's reality. But maybe he'd say, you know, the law says I should take your license right here. And, yeah. But I'll just give you a warning this time. And instead of giving you a ticket, I'm going to give you a warning. Don't do it again to make sure it doesn't happen again." Now that would be that officer showing mercy, right? He has the right, he has the authority to give a ticket, he has, and whatever, pass judgment, and uphold the law, but he doesn't. I was trying to think of a personal illustration of a time that I received mercy from someone. And I wasn't sure. It seemed like about every thing I thought of or every illustration was one that I received the judgment instead of the mercy. I'm not sure. You know, when I got stopped 10, 15 years ago, I didn't get the mercy. That officer, he wrote me a ticket. And I got the, you know, yeah, and I had a fine to pay. But certainly there's many times that I have received mercy and every, you know, God has shown me great mercy. Every day is, every moment I breathe is because God is showing mercy, right? And certainly you all, as my church family, have been very merciful to me. But I did think of a time or two in my younger years that, you know, there were some mishaps. The one occasion I'm thinking of, it was a snowy road, and the truck that I was driving went in the ditch, and it got banged up pretty decent. Another time, a little mishap, well, maybe it was more than a little one. It was a side swipe, but I swiped someone else. Both times, you know, it was the boss's vehicles. And maybe I showed more mercy than I first thought, but more times than I thought. But, you know, both times, my boss, you know, he could have said, you know, the truck had to go to the shop and get fixed, right? And he could have said, "That was you. That was your carelessness. You weren't paying attention. You're going to pay to fix that truck." But he didn't. He had mercy. I was given mercy from him. And I wonder what goes through your mind when you think of receiving mercy. Maybe you think of times you were on the other side of this. Probably many of us can, where, you know, I had the choice. How am I going to respond? How am I going to react? Am I going to react, or am I going to show mercy to that person? And I was thinking of Bible examples in the Bible of those who showed mercy. And one I thought of, I don't think we'll turn to it, but I thought of King David. Several times in his earlier, before he was king, remember how Saul was chasing him. Saul was making life miserable for David. Saul was out to kill, he was looking to kill David. And you recall the one time David and his men were in this cave. Saul and his men came to the same cave and were there for the night, I believe. And David had the chance. His men said, "Look, here's the chance that the Lord has told you about. You know, the Psalms talk about delivering the enemy into God delivering your enemy into your hands. And There, here it is, David. You have your chance to even the score. You can get rid of Saul. David said, No, I won't do that to the Lord's anointed. And he didn't. And another time, later on, that David and his top man, Abishai, I believe it was, similar scenario. They snuck into the camp, Saul's camp. And Abishai, I believe by this time, he knew David's heart. He knew David was not going to harm Saul. And he said, okay, David, you let me take care of this. I'm gonna settle the score here. David said, no, you are not. And instead, they just took some of the stuff there by Saul, you know, to prove that they had been there. And he showed mercy to King Saul, you know, when it seemed that it would have been just right and fair, you know, in many people's eyes to not show mercy. And I thought of later on, you know, I see mercy in David when he sought out, he said, is there any relatives of Saul left that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? You know, you would have thought after all that Saul put him through that David would have said that, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with Saul, you know. But he brought him in, gave him the royal treatment, so to speak, a place at the table, restored the land that used to be his father's and so on. And, you know, Mephibosheth was afraid. Because why is David calling me in? You know, usually in those days it was very common for them to get a rival king's son to get cruel treatment from a king. But David showed him kindness and mercy. And, you know, unfortunately, as I thought of David and his life, I could think of times when David did not show mercy and was, in fact, very terrible and cruel, especially thinking of Uriah and the way he set him up and so on. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Why be merciful? Is it a requirement for us as Christians to be merciful? Or is it an optional thing? Is this just a suggestion? Do we always have to be merciful? Is there ever a time we don't need to be a merciful person? Those are some questions that came to my mind. Why be merciful? There's four reasons that I have here. First of all, it is a command. And I would like to read from Luke chapter 6 here. Luke chapter 6, there's mainly one verse I want to pull out of here, but I think several of the surrounding verses give the context a little more. I'll start reading at verse 27 here. Jesus talking here. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them which curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Be ye therefore merciful. It's a command Jesus gives here. And you know, really, as we think of why be merciful, maybe that is reason enough in itself, because Jesus said so. But I believe there is more to that. And secondly, why be merciful? Right here in this last verse we read, God our Father is a merciful God. God is merciful. You know, God is a God of mercy. He's also a just God, but that's not the, you know, the focus here this morning. But Jesus says here in verse 35, He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He sends good things and is kind to those people that do not acknowledge His goodness and those people that actually work against Him. Sends rain on the unjust as well as the just, I believe one verse says. God is a merciful God. And of course, it goes without saying, perhaps, that, you know, as Christians today, little Christ, we want to be like our Heavenly Father in whatever way we can. And our Father is a merciful Father. And we have many verses, you know, that attest to God as a God of mercy. And if you want a study on that, just look at the book of Psalms alone. Pick out all the verses that address the mercy of God. Talk of God's loving kindness and mercy. Chapter 6, 36, verse 5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. And we have chapter 136 in Psalms, where it repeats again and again, For His mercy endureth forever. God is merciful, and we are called to be merciful as He is. Thirdly, why be merciful? Because we are debtors. We have received mercy ourselves. That's why. God has shown mercy to us. God has shown mercy to me personally. I have received salvation and forgiveness of my sins. No, I didn't deserve it. Not at all. I didn't deserve mercy. I deserved judgment. I deserved to pay for my sin. But God, in His mercy, saved me. Ephesians 2, it says there, that familiar verse, I don't know if I can pull it all together, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, raised us up, made us sit in heavenly places, and so on. This morning, I am a debtor because of the mercy shown to me. It's now just my fitting service. It's only becoming as a follower of Jesus that I am merciful to others because of that mercy shown to me. And we have that familiar, I think it's a familiar story there. I don't think we'll turn to it. Jesus told there in Matthew 18 of the servant that owed his Lord. It was a number, a huge number. He could never pay it back. He begged for patience and said, I'll try to pay it back, putting it in my own words. But, you know, in his heart, I think he knew and his boss knew he could never return, you know, pay it back. And his master forgave him that whole debt, released him of that. And we know how that went. He went out and he found this fellow worker that owed him a small amount. And I believe, and I don't know for sure, but I believe he probably could pay it back. He probably would have. But he did not. He did not give mercy to that fellow servant over that small debt when he was forgiven such a huge debt himself. And you know, even, you know, you young children in school can discern that how unfair, that's terribly unfair. But I believe Jesus was essentially saying, you know, that is just how it looks to God when we withhold mercy from our fellow man. Because we have all been released of a huge debt that we could never pay. I'm debtor because of the mercy shown to me. Fourthly, why show mercy? Because we all will need more of it. We will need mercy in the future. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See, we're going to need mercy later on. You know, everyone likes to have mercy shown to them. I like to have mercy shown to me when I, in my failures and mistakes and so on. You know, maybe there's people that, you know, it's human nature. I don't want to be merciful to others, right? It's human nature. Be tough on them when they made a mistake and messed up. Be harsh with them, not very forgiving and merciful. But when it's myself, you know, I want mercy. And so to obtain mercy in those times, you know, I should be a merciful person now, because I believe others will be much more ready to give mercy to me if I was being a merciful person. Because, you know, sooner or later in life, very likely the tables will be turned, and maybe it's not me being merciful to someone else, but it's I that need the mercy shown to me, and I will be at the mercy of someone else. Proverbs 11:17 says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." And you know, we can probably think of stories on each side of that. Someone that was merciful, and it came around to be a blessing to him later. Or someone that was unmerciful, and it came around to hurt him later on. And it was a story. I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find it. I can't remember if it was in a literature book in school or where I came across it. And hopefully I don't get any details wrong. But I believe it was in Russia, a time of terrible, a terrible time of war and unrest. There was two parties fighting, I believe, and the story was of a man in village. He was on his way home, as I recall, and there was train cars. He went past, and I don't know the exact year or about when this was, but there was one, you know, side was sending people to Siberia, I believe, to, you know, very cruel place. They had cattle. There was cattle cars there that he walked past, you know, with people in being shipped, and there were people calling out for help, and they said were cold and hungry. And this man took the food he had, I forget if he went home and got more, and gave these people food, showed mercy to them. And as the story goes, it was years later, the tables were turned, and I believe it was the other party that was, you know, ruling. Very, very bad time. But this man found himself in court being, I think he was being judged for help supporting the other side. I don't know if I have that all right. But it wasn't looking good, you know. There was people being, you know, harsh sentences being passed. And this man came up for his turn to be sentenced. And the judge, when he started talking, the judge said, "Have I met you before?" And the man said, "No, I don't think so." And the judge said, "Were you ever in such a town?" He said, "Well, yeah, that was the town I lived in. It's, you know, I lived there." And he said, "Do you remember one night giving food to people in this cattle car?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he said, I was one of those people." And he walked out of there a free man because his mercy that he showed came around to bless him. And I could think of a, I don't think I'll take the time to share it, but we can probably think of situations the other way where someone did not show mercy, and you know, eventually it came back. They were the one that did not have mercy shown to them. Let's be merciful. And most certainly, continuing this thought of you know, we will need mercy in the future, you know, most certainly, if not from others, of our fellow man, we will need mercy from God, my friends, in the future. We all are prone to failures and mistakes. We're going to need God's mercy some more. And my friends, there's a day coming when you and I are going to stand before the judge of all the earth and answer. I am going to answer to him for my life. And friends, it's only going to be because of God's mercy that we can stand approved before that judgment seat. And you know, we will be judged, the Bible says, by the mercy we have shown, or lack of it, that we have shown to our fellow man. There's a verse, James 2:13 says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." If we have shown no mercy, if we have showed no mercy, you know, we will receive none, that verse is saying, when we are judged of God. And that, my friends, is a terrible thing beyond description, to be judged without mercy of God. Because we need God's mercy every day. And to obtain that mercy, we need to be merciful. I raised the question earlier, are we ever exempt as Christians from being merciful? I think for sure the answer is no. We are to be merciful without exception. However, that does not say, you know, that we are never to give warning, rebuke, even correction at times. You know, in our families and even brotherhoods, you know, Jesus gave very serious rebukes to the scribes and Pharisees of his day. But I believe it was still done because of his mercy for them, his love for them. He knew where they were at and what it took to reach their hard hearts and to not address their failures would have been unmerciful. And so I believe it is the same for us. You know, it's because of mercy that we need to give our children correction at times. Because not doing so would be, in fact, unmerciful. It would be not for their good. You see, being merciful is not simply doing nothing. You know, because correction is hurtful, so no, we have to show mercy. No, rather, mercy is carrying it out anyway. And you know, because of mercy, I might need to nudge my fellow brother and say, "Brother, hey, what about this?" You see, mercy does not simply avoid that because it's a hard thing. but rather does it anyway, because it would be unmerciful. It would not be for his good to just avoid it. And so on. Being merciful is not simply just going the way of least resistance. Micah 6, verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Love mercy. God's looking for those who love mercy. Do you love mercy? Do I love mercy? You know, as I thought about that, you know, is it possible for me to be part of a conservative Anabaptist church like we are, you know, and not have a love for mercy like Christ would have me to? As I was thinking about that, you know, I couldn't help but notice Jesus' rebuke to the scribes and Pharisees in, I believe it's Matthew 23, verse 23. He said, putting it into my own words, you're so careful in some of these little details, like making sure you pay tithes on the exact amounts of you know, food ingredients, spices. They were just little things. But they had to make sure that, you know, they tithed on those things. They were so particular about some of those little details, you know, that at the end of the day weren't really of consequence at all. But he said, you're so careful about those little things, but you're leaving out the important matters. You're leaving go some important things of judgment, mercy, and faith. He said that specifically that mercy was one of the weightier matters that they were neglecting. And earlier in the chapter, you bump back a few verses, he says, you devour widows' houses. Now, I don't know what all he meant by that or what all was happening, but I do believe that, you know, it was a lack of mercy. It was not a thing of mercy, and they were probably taking advantage of those who could not defend themselves. You know, those Pharisees, they had their whole show of religion and were so particular about the details. But, you know, they were totally missing it when it came to some basic tenets of godliness, like showing mercy to the poor and so on. And I just raise it as a challenge. You know, are we? I wonder if we, as Anabaptist churches, you know, I think you and I both know that we just get pretty wrapped up in some small details of church life sometimes, or of life. You know, can we get so distracted by some of those actually very insignificant things in the big picture of life and of eternity? Can we get so distracted that we miss important matters like showing mercy to my fellow brother and sister and other people, like these religious people did? Just something for us to think about. A quote from Abraham Lincoln, and I wasn't sure where to bring this in. He says, I have always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. I've always found that mercy bears richer fruits than strict justice. And I believe it's good. There's some wisdom in that, and good for us to ponder that. And you know, that man was known for that, for giving mercy many times. Many times he dismissed charges. He pardoned soldiers that were going to be punished for treason and, yeah, falling asleep and deserting their post and so on. He pardoned them, and even to the point that he kind of got a a reputation by some of his top generals of showing mercy when they thought he should be harsh and so on. And another quote from Abe Lincoln that he had when someone said, "Abe, why are you being friends with your enemies? You're supposed to destroy your enemies." And he said, "Do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends?" See, he was known for being merciful. And that's fascinating to me because, you know, in the world system is not a system of mercy. You know, the officer of the law, he's there to uphold the law. He's there to give you a ticket if you disobey or arrest you. And the court system isn't there to give mercy. They're there to pass a sentence. They're there for judgment if you broke the law. You need to pay for your crimes. It's not a system of mercy. People don't understand forgiveness. That's not people's frame of mind. You get revenge on that person that wronged you. You take them to court. You get that person that took advantage of you. You don't show mercy to others. You put yourself up and put others down. But God's way is mercy. Two verses I'd like to read here in closing. And I would like to turn to them. We didn't turn to very many verses this morning. Romans 12, verse 8. We won't spend very much time on either of these. Verses that have to do with mercy. Romans 12, 8. We're breaking into the sentence here. It says, "For he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." We're to show mercy with cheerfulness. I'll show mercy to my fellow man because, well, I guess I have to. Jesus showed me mercy. Not out of a grudging heart, but cheerfully. We're glad for the opportunity to show mercy to others. Turn over to Colossians. Colossians 3. Colossians 3:12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Maybe today we would say, just have a heart of mercy. Just mercy is what is coming out of you. Just a heart full of mercy for my fellow man. That's what you put on. He says, put that on. You put that on as a Christian. You just have a heart overflowing with mercy to others. And you know, really, when I bear in mind the mercy that God has extended to me, that he gives me every day, when I am mindful of that each and every day, of God's mercy to me, that is what will be coming from my heart. I will just be willing to be merciful to those around me. I'll have a heart of mercy. I'll love mercy, like that verse there in Micah talked about. Well, blessed are the merciful. Blessed, happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. God bless you as you endeavor to be a person of mercy today. Let's pray.